Ephesians 4 again. And I hope we're willing to finish today the first 16 verses. I suggested to you that the chapter can usefully, or the section of the book can usefully be divided into three portions. Walk in unity, verses 1 to 16. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, beginning in verse 17, down through chapter 5, verse 6, and then beginning at 5:7, walk as children of light. The phrase itself is in verse 8. So we're still thinking about our walk together in Christian unity. Walk in unity. This great vision that Paul has of the church as the body of Christ, with all the members articulated together through the ministry of the Word of God and the ministry of the saints one to another. Let's begin at verse 11. This is the sentence that runs down through verse 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or articulation of the saints under the work of the ministry, under the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have provided us with defense against the waves and winds of confusion that surround us, that your word is able to build us up and stabilize us in uncertain times, and we pray that your spirit would instruct us as we meditate on what you've preserved for us here today. In our Savior's name. Amen. We've been thinking ever since verse 11 about the ministry of these four categories of gifted people in the church. In the first century, the apostles, as the church planters, went around preaching the gospel to places where the gospel had not been heard, setting up new congregations. The prophets were those whose responsibility was to teach in the church, build up the people. As we get toward the end of the book of Acts, more and more we see terms like evangelist and pastor-teacher for those two roles. The evangelist, again, is the church planter. It's the one who goes out. We call them missionaries today. And the pastor-teacher is the resident gift in the church, those in the local assembly who instruct, teach the Word of God, to articulate the saints together, to help the saints fit together so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Now, what's the objective of all of this? What's the reason that God has put this system in place of the gifts that he's given to the church, the role of teaching in the church? Now, verses 14 to 16 tell us that it is to avoid a problem and to accomplish an objective. This is what's called a contrast paragraph. Often in Scripture you'll have two sentences or two short paragraphs side by side. One says, it's not A, it's B. You understand that during this campaign season when the candidates are always speaking in terms of contrast paragraphs with each other. My opponent says this, but I say that. You know, what's the difference? Help me understand what the difference is between the two. But Paul says, I don't want you to be what verse 14 describes,